For decades, ADHD was considered a condition affecting only hyperactive boys bouncing off classroom walls. Women who struggled with focus, organization, and emotional regulation were simply labeled scattered, too sensitive, or not living up to their potential. But what if these struggles weren't character flaws at all? What if they were signs of a brain that processes the world differently, not defectively, just differently? ADHD isn't merely an attention problem. It's a complex difference in how the brain's executive functioning system operates, the mental command center responsible for getting started on tasks, sustaining focus, regulating emotions, holding information in working memory, and monitoring behavior. For women, these challenges often manifest as the inattentive type, difficulty activating, chronic disorganization, and persistent forgetfulness, rather than the hyperactive presentation that gets boys diagnosed early. While boys disrupt classrooms and get noticed, girls daydream quietly, their struggles invisible until they're adults drowning in responsibilities they can't seem to manage, no matter how hard they try. Understanding ADHD as an executive functioning difference rather than a willpower deficit changes everything. It's not about trying harder. It's about recognizing that your brain needs different tools, just as someone with nearsightedness needs glasses rather than lectures about focusing better. This realization can feel devastating and liberating simultaneously. Devastating because it explains years of struggle and missed opportunities. Liberating because it means you weren't broken after all. For most women with ADHD, the real struggle isn't managing symptoms, it's untangling the shame wrapped around their identity. Years of negative feedback create a toxic loop where specific challenges morph into global self-judgments. Watch how this happens. You notice your cluttered desk. Instead of thinking, "I have a messy workspace," your brain leaps to, "I am a mess," then to, "I am bad." The shame triggers overwhelm, which leads to avoidance, which creates more disorganization, which reinforces the belief that you're fundamentally flawed. This loop of shame operates mostly below conscious awareness. You don't realize you're making these leaps from, "I forgot to return that call," to, "I'm a terrible friend who doesn't deserve relationships." It happens automatically, a well-worn neural pathway carved by countless similar experiences. The shame extends into the loop of isolation and hiding. You start declining invitations, avoiding certain environments, and limiting self-expression, all to prevent others from discovering your differences. Breaking these loops requires untangling, separating ADHD challenges from core identity. This means seeing your ADHD as something you have, not something you are. Shame doesn't appear out of nowhere. Women with ADHD internalize damaging messages through four distinct channels. You messages are direct attacks misinterpreting ADHD behaviors as character flaws. You're just being lazy. You could be successful if you just apply yourself. One woman recalled her father constantly saying, "You'd be so pretty if you just put some effort into how you look." These criticisms become internalized voices that echo long after. She messages are indirect comments about other women with similar traits that communicate your challenges are unacceptable. Kylie sat silently while her in-laws criticized her cousin's chaotic home, knowing hers looked identical. Duh messages are well-intentioned but dismissive suggestions like, "Have you tried using a planner?" These interactions communicate a fundamental lack of understanding about ADHD's complexity. Most insidious are absorbed messages, cultural expectations about what women should naturally excel at that create brain shame when executive function difficulties clash with societal norms. Women with ADHD often describe watching neurotypical women manage daily life as watching a magic show. Recognizing these messages is the first step toward challenging their validity. Hiding, not planners or calendars, is the most common coping mechanism women with ADHD use. This manifests everywhere: whispering answers in class to avoid public mistakes, declining invitations to hide your messy home, turning down opportunities when logistics feel overwhelming. These protective behaviors begin as self-preservation, but ultimately reinforce invisibility and prevent authentic connection. The price is steep. Women decline committee positions, speaking opportunities, and countless experiences, all from fear of exposure. These moments accumulate into a pattern of self-limitation. Gender expectations uniquely complicate this dynamic. Unlike deliberate nonconformists who choose to deviate, women with ADHD have little choice. Their differences are brain-based, not ideological. Implicit rules become internalized. Don't make waves. Be nice. Don't ask for special favors. These prohibitions make requesting accommodations feel like violating fundamental codes of acceptable womanhood. Breaking free requires courage to assert yourself from an empowered position that honors differences. It means embracing the radical notion that authenticity, even when it reveals imperfection, creates stronger connections than perfection ever could. Survival mode disconnects women from aspirations, yet purpose is essential. Compelling visions activate the ADHD brain that craves stimulation. Without meaningful goals, even the best organizational strategies feel hollow. Reclaiming dreams requires playing with possibilities, approaching aspirations with curiosity rather than pressure. Like sorting clothes, some dreams need alteration, some no longer fit, and sometimes you start fresh. That childhood dream of becoming a rock star might reflect a deeper desire for creative expression, manifesting in countless ways today. Create space through purposeful distractibility, allowing your mind to wander creatively without judgment. Carve out quiet cafe moments or permit unstructured daydreaming time. Seemingly abandoned dreams often create meaningful patterns visible only in retrospect. The aspiration to teach might manifest as mentoring colleagues. The desire to travel might express itself through studying international cultures. Embracing wholeness means seeing yourself beyond your challenges. Women with ADHD often develop fragmented self-images that overemphasize difficulties while minimizing strengths. This balanced perspective recognizes ADHD as one aspect of a multidimensional self. When Lorraine stopped constantly apologizing for clumsiness and responded with good humor instead, people valued her teaching talents rather than fixating on occasional awkwardness. Women with ADHD deserve fulfilling lives, the right to connection, pursuing talents, speaking authentically, claiming dreams, taking personal time, and living shame-free while asking for help and acknowledging strengths. Claiming these rights means expanding beyond comfort zones. ADHD symptoms, forgetting birthdays, becoming distracted during conversations, delayed responses, are often misinterpreted as lack of investment, leading to anxiety and avoidance. Many women pull back from developing talents, fearing criticism or inability to follow through. Holly's story demonstrates owning strengths rather than minimizing them. When friends questioned her choice not to have children, she learned to respond directly. "My legacy is going to be about my work, which is very exciting to me, rather than apologizing or hiding accomplishments." Leading a bold life means becoming more visible and stepping fully into authenticity. Drop qualifiers like just, actually, and sorry that diminish impact. Replace apologies with gratitude and use direct I statements with grounded body language. Shining isn't selfish, it's about valuing who you are. By becoming bold and taking center stage through direct, unapologetic communication, you transform your own life and create permission for others to do the same. There is no universal ADHD playbook, only your way. Traditional one-size-fits-all strategies often demoralize rather than help. Creating an effective support plan means recognizing what works for your unique brain. Medication benefits most people with ADHD, though it's not a cure-all. Its goal is making life easier, helping you be yourself with less internal distress. Environmental adjustments matter. Strategic furniture placement, working near others, noise-canceling headphones, adjusted lighting, balance balls for fidgeting, and visual cues alongside auditory prompts. Effective strategies include simplifying everything, using abundant external prompts, having more fun, setting boundaries, understanding your attention patterns, balancing stress and stimulation, anticipating time perception problems, staying physically active, and connecting with understanding people. Support seeking is healthy interdependence, not neediness. Finding ADHD knowledgeable therapists is crucial. Non-specialized professionals might misinterpret symptoms. Women who thrive with ADHD approach challenges from empowered places and practice self-compassion. The integrated woman with ADHD still struggles, but does so with radical acceptance. She lives by values rather than shame, pushes comfort zone boundaries, claims her voice unapologetically, actively seeks support, and refuses to be diminished. You can't do ADHD alone. Brave women with ADHD lift each other up.